There are many great and important cities in the world today. Paris, Tokyo, Rome, Bangkok, Seoul. But a city is coming in the future that will dwarf today's world-class cities in opulence, commerce, finance, and sin. An ancient city that was once the most important in the world but has lain dormant for years. It will be the center of the coming world economy. Today, here on Turning Point, Dr. David Jeremiah reveals the history and future of this coming city as he continues his series, The Coming Economic Armageddon. Here's David with more on today's message.
And thank you for joining us today. That is right. We will continue our discussion of the coming economic Armageddon as we discuss the collapse of the global financial market. Revelation says there's coming a day when people will say, Babylon is fallen, and the entire economic structure of the world will collapse, according to Revelation, in 1 hour or in a very short time. The Bible is very specific about how this happens and why. We're right in the middle of the discussion of it, and we'll get back to it in a few moments. And we want to thank you also for the many of you who have sent a gift during the month of October and requested your copy of the book, The Coming Economic Armageddon. We've had an incredible response to this book, and I want to remind you, you have today and tomorrow to make your request for your copy of this book when you send a gift to Turning Point. This is only available during the month of October, so don't wait another minute. Send your gift to Turning Point and request your copy of the book, The Coming Economic Armageddon. We'll be sure to see that it gets to you as soon as possible. If you would rather go to the bookstores, of course, the book is in bookstores everywhere, but by ordering it through Turning Point, you help us, and everything above the cost of the book and the mailing of the book to your home, we put back into ministry to reach more people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So, once again, just today and tomorrow, during the month of October, this is the opportunity, and we hope you'll take advantage of it. Right now, let's get started with our discussion of the collapse of the global financial market. According to Revelation chapter 18, to which we have opened our Bibles today, the ancient city of Babylon is going to be rebuilt and become the commercial capital of the world during the tribulation period. Now remember, the tribulation period could be just a few years away from us, because the only thing that needs to happen before the tribulation takes place is for the Lord to return to take his own back to heaven. We could be living in the early days of some of the things that are going to happen in the tribulation, and before we're finished today, I think you will agree with me that we are. Now, the Bible says that Babylon is going to be rebuilt, and we might wonder why that would be an important thing. Dr. Henry Morris, who is in heaven today, but was a part of this church for many years, explains in his book on Revelation that Babylon's location is the most ideal in the world for any kind of international center. Not only is it in the beautiful and fertile Tigris-Euphrates plain, but it is near some of the world's richest oil reserves. Computer studies for the Institute of Creation Research have shown, for example, that Babylon is very near the geographical center of all of the Earth's land masses. It is within navigable distances to the Persian Gulf, and it is at the crossroads of the three great continents of Europe, Asia, and Africa. So there's no more ideal location anywhere for a world trade center, a world communication center, a world banking center, or a world capital. The greatest historian of modern times, a man by the name of Arnold Toynbee, used to stress to his readers and his students that Babylon would be the best place in the world to build a future world cultural metropolis. And with all these advantages, and with the head start already made by the Iraqis, it is not far-fetched at all to suggest that the future capital of the world during the tribulation period would be established in Babylon. Now, it's quite obvious to me that the United States believes something important is going on in that region. The largest United States embassy in the world, 104 acres, opened in Baghdad. The 27-building complex is situated on the banks of the Tigris River. And the embassy, known as Embassy Baghdad, is the largest of its kind in all of the world. It is the size of 80 football fields. It is the size of Vatican City. With a population already of 5,500, it dwarfs all of the other U.S. embassies anywhere else that usually cover about 10 acres. The Baghdad embassy has its own defense force and is designed to be entirely self-sufficient. The 104-acre complex will include two office buildings. It will be designed for future use as a school. Six apartment buildings are built, a gym, a pool, a food court, and its own water treatment plants. The enormous size of this embassy gives an indication that even our own government believes something important is going to happen in that region in the future. Now, the amazing story of the rebuilding of the city of Babylon is once again proof of the miraculous nature of biblical prophecy. Long before this rebuilding process began in our life, prophets Jeremiah and Isaiah and even John the Apostle put together a scenario that demands that this city be rebuilt. UNESCO is pumping millions of dollars into Babylon with the help of private donors. The UN is hoping to turn Babylon into a thriving center of tourism and commerce. They actually have a motto that they use when they send out to countries. It says this: tourism, not terrorism. That's how they're trying to advertise their new city. And if everything goes according to plan, Babylon will be a cultural center complete with shopping malls, hotels, and maybe even a theme park. Well, what is going on there is important in terms of what the Bible has to say. For you see, the city of Babylon is located 60 miles south of Baghdad, and it is the city that was founded by Nimrod, the first world dictator, and we read about him in the early days of this message series from Genesis chapter 11, when he led the people to build the tower up into the heavens in an affront to God. According to the prophetic scheme that's outlined in the book of Revelation, when the Antichrist takes control of the world during the tribulation, he will rule and reign from three cities. From Rome, he will rule the political world. And from Jerusalem, he will make a covenant with the Jews and rule the religious world. And from Babylon, he will rule the financial and commercial world. And it's interesting, as you begin to study this and you open your mind to this, that Babylon, next to Jerusalem, is the most frequently mentioned city in all of the Bible. In fact, if I've got it right, it's mentioned 294 times throughout the Bible. It is first mentioned in Genesis 10 and last mentioned in Revelation 21. And if you study Jeremiah's prophecy concerning Babylon in Jeremiah 50 and 51, the term Babylon is found 37 times in just those two chapters. And whenever Babylon is mentioned in the Bible, it is always negative. When you read about Jerusalem in the Bible, it's always positive. Jerusalem is God's city. But Babylon in the Bible is man's city. Babylon is a place of rebellion. It was here that the famous Tower of Babel was built. And from the beginning, Babylon has been synonymous with paganism and humanism and rebellion. In his prophecy against future Babylon, Jeremiah the prophet spoke of a day when Babylon would be no more, and his words describe it as a place that will be desolate forever, a heap of ruins, a haunt of jackals, an object of horror and scorn, a desert and dry land, a place where no man lives and through which no man travels. Isaiah the prophet has a similar prophecy. Isaiah adds that Babylon is a desolate land that will never again be inhabited or lived in through all generations, where no Arab will pitch his tent and no shepherd will rest his flocks. Now, the importance of those prophecies is this: that Babylon has never been destroyed, nor has it ever been desolate, nor is it desolate today. When Babylon was taken over by the Medes and Persians, which we read about in the book of Daniel, and you remember the night when Belshazzar was hosting and the handwriting on the wall came and God said, "This kingdom is being taken away from Babylon and given to the Medes and Persians." When the Medes and Persians took over Babylon, they didn't destroy the city. They used the city and they ruled from the city. When the Medo-Persian Empire was gone, the Greeks took over and Alexander was the leader, Alexander the Great. Babylon was one of the major cities in his reign. In fact, he ruled in part there all the way through to the end of his time when he gave the kingdom to his four sons. So there's never been a time when Babylon has been totally destroyed, as the scripture says. But there will be a time in the future when that happens, a time yet to take place, a time when Babylon will be destroyed. And the Bible speaks of it. And since it hasn't happened, we know it's yet to happen in the future. Since we've already established the rebuilding of Babylon, it is obvious that these prophecies concerning its destruction will take place in the future. And some people wonder, well, how can that city ever be built to be like it's described here in Revelation 18 and some of the other passages? We must remember that we live in a different time and a different era when it comes to building these days. When the Antichrist takes control of the world in the early part of the tribulation, and he has absolute total control of all of the industry and all of the money, he will bring all of the industry and all of the money to play, and with an urgency to do it, the city of Babylon can literally be rebuilt overnight through the technology that we currently have if someone has total control of all the assets and the abilities. So, one day in the future, already under process, the city of Babylon is being built. And the Bible says that one day, as surely as it is rebuilt, it will be destroyed. The book of Revelation not only prophesies Babylon's future destruction, but it devotes an entire chapter to describe in detail why it is destroyed and how it takes place. Before we just look at Revelation 18, and you may be worried that we aren't going to get done on time, but just hang in there. We're going to move through Revelation pretty quickly. I want to just remind you, this is not just about the rebuilding and the destruction of a city. Babylon represents in the Bible and in the world everything that is against God. The whole concept of Babylon is man's independence from God, man building a tower to God in affront to him, man building the great city of Babylon where Nebuchadnezzar walks on the walls at night and says, "Is this not this great city which I have built for my own purposes, for my own glory?" Babylon is about man holding his fist up in God's face and saying, "I don't need you, God. I can do all this myself. I am self-sufficient. I have everything I need. I do not need God." Babylon is synonymous for rebellion and humanism and anti-God sentiment. Not just the city, but in the culture today. Could I stop for a moment and ask, is there any of that going on in our world today? Is our culture moving more and more toward an affront to God, not even trying to couch it in nice terms anymore? Well, the Bible says one of these days Babylon and all that it represents will be destroyed. So let me begin with the destruction of Babylon. In chapter 18 of Revelation, verses 1 and 2, we read, "After these things I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illuminated with his glory. And the angel cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, 'Babylon the great is fallen, is fallen.'" John the Apostle here writes about an angel so powerful that when he comes to this earth, he lights up the whole world. This angel is thought by some to be the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And he pronounces judgment upon the city of Babylon. This is also the message of Isaiah the prophet, who writes in Isaiah 21:9, "Babylon is fallen and fallen, and all the carved images of her gods he has broken to the ground." Now, when the angel speaks this judgment, "Babylon is fallen," he uses a phrase that describes an instantaneous action. Ladies and gentlemen, the destruction of Babylon will be no gradual thing. It will be done in a moment. In fact, three times in this chapter, we are told that it happens in 1 hour. In 1 hour, everything people have lived for their whole lives will be gone. Now, why does God pour out his judgment on this city in such a definitive way? I'm glad you asked that question, because all the answers are right here in the book of Revelation 18 chapter. And I want to give you the six key reasons why God destroys Babylon. First of all, God destroys Babylon because of her sorceries. Verses 1 and 2, we read, "And he cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, 'Babylon the great is fallen, and has become a dwelling place of demons, a prison for every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hated bird.'" Men and women, in the end time, when this great city is reconstructed, it will be a city that is overrun by satanic and demonic activity. In that future day, Babylon will be the center of depravity, where spirits will be striving to gain control over men. In fact, did you know what the word sorcery means in the Greek language? The word sorcery is a translation in the Greek language of the word pharmakia. Pharmakia, it's the word from which we get our word pharmacy. It represents drugs. In that city will be demonism, Satanism, and unrestricted addiction to drugs. It will be an awful city for anything that we would deem valuable in culture. It will be destroyed because of its sorceries. Secondly, it will be destroyed because of its seductions. Verse 3 says this, Revelation 18:3, "For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury." Ladies and gentlemen, in this day, in the future, when Babylon is rebuilt, it will be famous around the world as the most enlightened and liberated city to ever exist on earth. Her constitution will give free rein to all forms of immorality. There will be no such thing as anything immoral. Anything will go. Nations and kings and merchants will be seduced to be unfaithful to God. And the rulers and the rich of the world will all be drawn to Babylon. In that day, if you have any money at all, you will want to have a condo in Babylon. That's the way it'll work. And prosperity will so overwhelm people in this city to make Babylon's merchants some of the greatest men in the world. Not just those who deal and trade with Babylon, but the merchants from Babylon will become some of the richest people the world has ever seen, drawing the Forbes chart way out of perspective. Nobody will ever have had the resources and the money that these people have. According to the U.S. Energy Information Administration, this is quite reasonable. For Iraq was the world's 13th largest oil producer in 2008 and has the world's third largest proven petroleum reserves after Saudi Arabia and Canada. But just a fraction of Iraq's known fields are in development. And many people believe that Iraq may be one of the few places left where vast reserves, proven and unknown, have barely been exploited. Where does all the wealth come from? Well, as you know, we are not on the gold standard anymore. We're on the oil standard. And Iraq and Baghdad and Babylon will be deep into the resources that come out of the ground for which the whole world is lusting and clamoring. And of course, when you have those kind of resources and you are not godly, everything else comes along with it. John Phillips, one of the commentators on the book of Revelation, writes this paragraph. He says, "The crime syndicate, already enormously wealthy and powerful, feudal, ruthless, and omnipresent, will move its headquarters to Babylon. There can be little doubt that the syndicate controlling the vice traffic of the world and insinuating itself into all kinds of legitimate business will ultimately look to the Antichrist as its leader and will locate itself in the final city of Babylon." So what we see here is that Babylon epitomizes the godless influence that will reign over all of the social and political and cultural and commercial life in the tribulation. Nations and kings and merchants, according to the text, will be intoxicated by this city. They will be drunk with the lure of Babylon. Babylon will be judged because of her sorceries and her seductions. But notice in verse 5, Babylon is judged because of her sins. Here's how it reads, "For her sins have reached to heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities." Here is an interesting little insight from the language of the New Testament. The word "reached" that you read in your text is a Greek word that literally means to be glued together or welded together. The picture is so graphic. The sins of Babylon have been piled one upon another as bricks being piled in a building. This is a throwback to the Tower of Babel, which began the wicked career of Babylon in Genesis 11. Basically, God is saying that just as Babylon once put bricks one on top of another to build the physical tower to Babel, which did not reach to heaven, so now she has piled her sins one on another, and they have reached to heaven and gotten God's attention. And for her sins, God will come down to judge this city. She will be judged because of her sorceries and because of her seductions and because of her sins and because of her self-glorification. Very interesting, verse 7. In the measure that she glorified herself and lived luxuriously, in the same measure give her torment and sorrow. For she says in her heart, I sit as queen and am no widow and will not see sorrow. Babylon is proud and arrogant, and they've come into their own, and they view themselves as the indestructible city, which has never before been realized on planet Earth. And they almost sneer and say, I will have no sorrow. No one will ever get to me. This is the city, impregnable, invulnerable, the ultimate city of the world, and the best that man can do with his resources. As rich and luxurious as life is for many of us today, it will be surpassed by 1,000 times with the opulence of Babylon. The pride of Nebuchadnezzar is going to live again someday as Babylon views herself as immortal and invincible. She will be judged because of her arrogance and because of her self-glorification. Here's the next one. Babylon is judged because of her slavery. Now, in verses 12 through 13 of Revelation 18, I want to read to you a list of all of the wonderful things that will be in Babylon, all of the commodities that will be available. Merchandise of gold and silver, precious stones and pearls, fine linen and purple, silk and scarlet, every kind of citron wood, every kind of object of ivory, every kind of object of most precious wood, bronze, iron, and marble, and cinnamon and incense, and fragrant oil and frankincense, wine and oil, fine flour and wheat, cattle and sheep, horses and chariots, and bodies and souls of men. Now, if you go through this list, there are 28 objects on the list. It's interesting to see that gold and silver are at the top. Some people may wonder if that means we get off the oil standard and we go back to the gold standard. Nobody knows. But after the beginning of the list, next are the things that are for outward show. Remember, this is the wealthiest city the world has ever known. Everybody who is in that city has so much money, so many resources. Outward show, personal adornment, followed by the choice articles of rare and precious wood and metal and ivory, and finally the perfumes and the other luxuries and the more substantial commodities, including horses and chariots. But notice how the list ends. And bodies and souls of men. Human trafficking and slavery are a part of the Babylonian prosperity.
And there's so much more yet to talk about from this portion of God's Word, and we'll continue that tomorrow here on Turning Point. I want to remind you that tomorrow is the last day for you to request the 9 biblical principles of money management that will change your life. This is a very exciting opportunity, and we want to tell you about it right now.
Introducing Dr. David Jeremiah's 9 Biblical Money Management Principles That Will Change Your Life. This compact resource features 9 powerful things the Bible has to say about money and finances. Based on 126 New Testament principles and more than 2,000 Bible verses, these 9 truths capture the essence of what you need to better handle the resources God has given you. 9 Biblical Money Management Principles That Will Change Your Life. Yours free when you contact Turning Point. Call or click today.
Well, we hope you will do that. And as I mentioned, tomorrow is the last day for you to do that. So why don't you not wait till tomorrow? Why don't you do it today? And they'll have it done, and we'll be able to send these principles to you in this new format that you'll be able to carry with you and think about and ponder. We are certainly spending more time thinking about how we deal with our finances today than perhaps ever, because everything around us is so uncertain. Aren't you thankful that you serve a God who doesn't change? And when you lock into His truth, He helps you maintain your focus during times when everything gets a little bit murky for most of the people of the world. We as Christians should have an advantage because we have the Word of God and we know the Lord, and we should be able to not necessarily bypass all the stress, but we surely ought to be able to deal with it in a way that others may not even understand. And then we want to remind you before we say goodbye today that 1 week from today we will be in Washington, D.C. for our first ever Washington, D.C. event. We'll be at the Verizon Center at 7 p.m. and we'll have our pastor's breakfast that morning at 8 a.m. Tickets available from turningpointdavidjeremiah.org/rallies. We will have them for you at will call. You can order them today. If you'd like more information about Dr. Jeremiah's new series, The Coming Economic Armageddon, visit our website at davidjeremiah.org/radio. When you do, look for two great ways to stay connected to Turning Point. Sign up for your free copy of our monthly magazine, Turning Points, or Daily Turning Point, our daily e-devotional. Sign up today by visiting davidjeremiah.org/radio or call us at 800-947-1993. That's 800-947-1993. When you call or visit online, request this month's resource, The Coming Economic Armageddon. This new book by Dr. David Jeremiah addresses aspects of the economic changes in our world and reminds us to keep our trust in God alone, our only true source of safety and security. Order this book for a gift of any amount. Just call or click today. This is Mark Larson. Join us tomorrow as we continue the series, The Coming Economic Armageddon, on Turning Point with Dr. David Jeremiah.